Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Mir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, first of all, let me give you an update on the situation of my mother. My mother, Malka Bat Simcha, as we mentioned on the last program that we did 2 weeks ago, the last Ask JTF program that we did 2 weeks ago before the holiday of Shavuot, my mother was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer called myxofibrosarcoma. In 1 month, a 9-centimeter cancerous tumor grew on her arm. Baruch Hashem, the tumor was successfully removed, and she appears to be cancer-free now. She had an MRI examination, and she appears to still be cancer-free, Baruch Hashem. So that's the good news. However, we must bear in mind that this is a very aggressive cancer, unfortunately. Soft tissue sarcomas, generally speaking, are aggressive. Only 50% of people who are diagnosed with soft tissue sarcomas. Soft tissue sarcomas are cancers of the soft tissue, which is right below the skin. Only 50% of people that are diagnosed with soft tissue sarcomas survive 5 years. So this is not an easy diagnosis or an easy prognosis for the future. And the type of cancer that my mother has is this specific type of soft tissue sarcoma. There are over 50 types of soft tissue sarcoma. The one that my mother has does have a history of frequent recurrence. In other words, a large number of people who get this type of cancer, even if they're cancer-free after the initial surgery, there is a very high percentage that have recurrence. The cancer grows back, God forbid, and once there's recurrence, of course, the prognosis then is worse, God forbid. So we still have to pray that there not be a recurrence. It's only been a little less than 3 months since my mother had the surgery in early March. And so the danger is always there. She's going to have to get MRIs and checkups at least every 3 months for the rest of her life. We still have to pray for her because of the fact that there is a high incidence of recurrence with this type of cancer, and we have to hope for the best. One of the side effects that she had when she was diagnosed with cancer, her blood pressure was always excellent. She did have a mild heart attack in 2008. And she has a history of people in her family dying of heart disease in their 70s, in their 60s, in their 70s. Not many people in her family lived to her age. She's now 82 years old. But because she has a very healthy diet and because she exercises and because she's lived a healthy life, Baruch Hashem, she's done much better than people in her family before her were able to do. So she still had a mild heart attack. She has a history of heart disease in her family. She still had a mild heart attack in 2008, which of course is 2008 is 7 years ago. But she fully recovered from that mild heart attack, and she would go, I would take her for walks. We would walk several miles, and she was just, for a woman in her 80s, incredibly vigorous and incredibly fit physically. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Her blood pressure was always excellent. Let me just tell you, by the way, that there are two figures on blood pressure that you should be aware of. Normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. You get two numbers, two different numbers that measure two different aspects of blood pressure. If someone has high blood pressure, that's very dangerous. High blood pressure can lead to heart attack and stroke, God forbid, and other terrible problems. Lo aleinu means it shouldn't be upon us. The normal numbers for blood pressure, the highest normal number you should have is 120 over 80. You should be a little bit below 120 over 80 to be normal. If you're above 120 over 80, If either one is higher, then you have either borderline high blood pressure, or if it's high enough, you have high blood pressure itself, what's known as hypertension. My mother's blood pressure figures were excellent, really excellent, and she didn't take any medication, she took nothing, and her figures were very good, until she was diagnosed with this cancer. When she was diagnosed with this cancer, I think it's because she was very nervous and upset, and, you know, this was a nerve-wracking, terrible thing, and she went to a terrible hospital, as I mentioned on the program 2 weeks ago. So it was a very traumatic experience for her and for the whole family. And ever since then, her blood pressure has been high. Even though she's now cancer-free, even though she now appears to be calm and she's doing her walks again and she's out exercising again and doing all the good things that you're supposed to do, despite that fact, her blood pressure is high ever since she was diagnosed with the cancer. So we're going to have to take her to a doctor and we're going to see what we can do in terms of she probably will need some medication to bring down the blood pressure. Hopefully she won't have to take it for long. Hopefully once we get it back down to normal, maybe she can keep it at a normal level, because she was keeping it at a normal level now for roughly 7 years. She was doing very well. So maybe if we get it back down after she has to take some medication, maybe we can get it back to normal, God willing. But that's another little worry we have now, because there is a history of heart disease in her family. She is in her 80s. She was diagnosed with cancer before, and now suddenly she has high blood pressure. So, and she's had the high blood pressure now for several months. So it's something we have to take care of. I just wanted to let people know what the situation is with my mother, because I know that people were expressing concern, and I deeply appreciate it. My mother deeply appreciates your concern and your prayers, and especially your prayers. The people who've been praying for us, I want to thank them. We even have atheists. I've asked atheists to pray for my mother. And that's a real mitzvah for us. I mean, that's a real mitzvah. When we can get an atheist to pray to God and to get used to speaking to God, and maybe that atheist will then start to believe in God, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. I think that's a real mitzvah to do that, bizchut, my mother. In other words, in merit of my mother's situation, my mother's situation gets credit for the fact that even atheists now are praying to God for her. So hopefully Hashem will have mercy on my mother and will keep my mother healthy ad mea ve'esrim, until 120. And even better than, you know, we have the saying in Hebrew ad mea ve'esrim, which means until 120. But we Jews are very, very optimistic about life in the long run. Super optimist. We believe we can defeat death, and we believe we will defeat death. We believe not in living till 120, we believe in eternal life. We believe that the day will come when there's going to be eternal life, ba'olam haba, in the next world. Those who merit a place in the next world, those who get to a place in the next world, will have eternal life. And the circumstances will be so much better than the circumstances in this world. Things that we can't even imagine because of the limitations that we have in this world. We cannot even imagine how wonderful the world that God will prepare for those who make it into the next world will be. So we Jews are the ultimate idealists. We're the ultimate optimists. We believe in eternal life. We believe that we can defeat death. But until the Ge'ula, until the final redemption comes, until HaGe'ula HaShlema, the final redemption comes, we all are facing death. And we face it and understand it, and we believe in God, and we hope, of course, that our judgment, that we will get a merciful judgment, and we have to do everything in this world, though, to do what God asks of us if we want a merciful judgment. We cannot do bad things and then expect God to forgive us. It doesn't work that way. We have to do what God wants us to do if we want to do well on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. But we believe that if someone does merit making it into the next world, then you have chaye olam. Chaye olam means eternal life. And the circumstances of that eternal life will be so wonderful and so magnificent that, again, it's beyond anything you can imagine. For me to try to explain it, or for me to try to understand it myself, I don't understand it myself, would be impossible. It would be like if someone was born blind. Let's say you have someone who's from birth is born blind, lo aleinu, shouldn't be upon us, or we should never know from blindness or other disabilities. But if someone is born blind and has never seen any light, never seen any colors, never seen anything, completely blind, totally blind, and you try to describe to that person the difference between the color blue and the color red and the color orange, you try to describe the differences, it doesn't matter how well you describe it. It doesn't matter how effective you are in describing it. That person will never really understand the differences in the colors. It's impossible because he's never seen colors. He has no idea. Or if you try to describe to him how a sunset looks, or if you try to describe to him how a beautiful garden looks, or you try to describe to him beautiful animals that God has created in this world, or other beautiful sights on this beautiful planet that God has created for us, that the Creator has given us in His love and in His mercy. And by the way, if you want to know if God loves us, the mere fact that He created us proves that He loves us. He had no need to create us. But in any event, if you try to describe that to someone who's blind, they won't understand you. They won't comprehend what you're saying. You try to a certain extent in a very limited way to explain it, but they can't really understand it. They can't really picture it. They can't really picture the illustration in their mind because they've never had any clue as to what any of this is about. So we're in that same situation when we try to understand how wonderful the world is going to be when God is openly ruling in the world, when a merciful, loving God is openly ruling in the world. We can't even begin to understand how wonderful life can be, and that's eternal life. That's life that never ends. So it is worthwhile doing the mitzvot that Hashem has given us, the commandments that Hashem has given us. It is very worthwhile. That's the update on my mother. Please keep praying for Malka Bat Simcha. And thank God everything seems to be going well now. And of course, we will give updates on a regular basis, God willing. And again, I thank everybody. God bless all of you that have prayed for her and all of you that have been so concerned about her situation. God bless all of you. I now want to speak about the two latest videos that we put up last night, one in Hebrew, one in English, about two Jewish teenagers in Israel who wanted to pray on Har HaBayit. Har HaBayit is the Temple Mount, where Beit HaMikdash, where the Holy Temple once stood. Actually, two holy temples stood there. It's the holiest place in the world. It's where the Shekhinah, God's manifestation in this world, was apparent, and people could see the cloud coming down from heaven, and they could see God, they could see the Shekhinah, and they knew that the Shekhinah was there. And when people went to the Holy Temple, to make sacrifices, they experienced unbelievably inspirational, uplifting, prophetic experiences many times. And it is called, that area known as the Temple Mount is called the Gateway. Sha'ar HaShamayim, the gateway to heaven. Because it's the one place in the world where God made His presence known, and where there was a connection between this world and the spiritual world of God. And in this very holy place, the self-hating Jews of Israel, including the current Netanyahu regime, have allowed the Muslim Nazis who want to destroy the Jewish people and who want to exterminate all non-Muslims, they have allowed these miserable, murderous, cruel, vicious, ignorant, vile people to have two mosques there, which were deliberately built there to show the supremacy of Islam, to show that Islam was superior to Judaism and all other beliefs. And so they deliberately built two mosques there as a humiliation to the Jews and to try to put the Jews down. And those two mosques are there, and the Jews are not allowed to pray. They're not even allowed to pray on the Temple Mount, let alone the fact that why are two mosques sitting on the holiest place in the world for the Jewish people? Can you imagine if the Jews, and this is what I mentioned in the video that we did, imagine if we Jews took over Mecca and decided to build a synagogue there and said Muslims aren't allowed to come and pray there now? Can you imagine the reaction of the world? Imagine the reaction of all the self-hating Jews if we did that? But this is what the Muslims have been doing to Jews for centuries. And the Jews take it, and the Jews now have a Jewish army that's the strongest army in the Middle East. We have complete control of the land of Israel. We have sovereign rule over the land of Israel. We could do anything we want there. We're masters of our own faith, of our own fate. We're captains of our own ship now. And yet we continue to act like slaves to our enemies. So it's really a terrible situation. And these two young Jews, these two very brave young Jews, and you see they're just two kids. One of them looked like he was about 14 years old. Really young, 14, 15 years old, the younger one. The older one was probably 18 or 19. Something like that, maybe 17, 18, 19. These two kids insisted upon their right to pray on Har HaBayit. And you see how the police brutally take them away and arrest them and physically attack them and arrest them. You see the brutality and you see their bravery. You see they don't give in for 1 minute. And by the way, the police would have been much more brutal for them if not for the fact that there were witnesses all around taking pictures, you know, and recording it. The police knew that they were being recorded. Otherwise, they would have been much more brutal with these two kids. We know because for many years they used terrible brutality before the age of the internet and before you could take pictures so easily when there was no one around. We know how unbelievably brutal the police were with Jews, with Jewish, heroic Jewish dissidents who wanted to assert the simple Jewish right to pray in the holiest spot in the world. Only Muslims are allowed to pray there, only Muslims. And so the Jews wanted to assert their simple right to pray. And you see what was done to them. You see the evil behavior of the police on orders from the Netanyahu regime, on orders from the Likud and Habayit HaYehudi, which is the Jewish Home Party, and Naftali Bennett. They're all part of this government. Shas, the so-called Torah Judaism Party, which is a Haredi party that calls themselves the Torah Judaism Party, what chutzpah, a party that is only interested in money and lines their pockets with government money and taxpayer money and will sell the Jewish people out in 2 seconds for a government bribe. All of these parties are guilty, of this terrible Chilul Hashem, this terrible desecration of God's name. And we in JTF wanted to show you this because we wanted to show you the types of Jews that we in JTF have supported for years. For years, we have been supporting Jews like this. For years, these Jews have turned to us and often relied upon us to help them. And we will not be silent. At the very least, we're not going to be silent while this terrible travesty takes place. And if you agree that we're not allowed to be silent, and if you agree that we have to wake the Jewish people up, and if you agree that the Jewish people and Israel are in grave danger right now, and that we must do everything we can to try to wake them up before it's too late, if you agree that JTF's message is essential in Hebrew and in English for Americans and for Israelis, for Americans in general and for Israeli Jews as well, if you agree with that, then we ask you to help us, to be part of our team. Let's work together as a team to promote this. Help us. What are the things you can do? Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for our success. Please pray that JTF get its message across in Israel and in the United States that we succeed in what we want to do. Please pray for us. Prayers are very important. Secondly, when you see us put up Hebrew and English videos like we did last night, whenever you see our videos, if they're in English or even if they're in Hebrew and you don't understand Hebrew, it doesn't matter. You can still try to, you know, promote the videos by liking them and commenting on them. Now, everything you do for a video, every action you take on a video, You watch it, you promote it, you like it, you comment on it. All of that boosts the video in the search engines. So when you see us put up English and Hebrew videos, help us promote those videos. Help us spread the word as much as we can. The third thing, first was prayer, second was helping us with the Hebrew and English videos. The third thing is join our English news page, the great English news page that is updated every single day, except on Shabbat, of course, except on the Jewish Sabbath, and except on holidays, obviously. It's updated by our great admin, Shlomo, who is a genius and who does a wonderful job and brings us very important articles there on a whole range of subjects, of very important subjects. Join the news page, comment on it, get involved, spread the word about the news page. Promote that news page and help us with the news page. Your comments on the news page are welcome and do help. And the fourth and final thing, remember the first was prayer, second was helping with the Hebrew and English videos, the third was joining the English news page, which is at jtf.org, the English news page is jtf.org. The fourth and final thing, which we need your help, of course, on, is financial support. Our downfall is that we don't have enough money to do what we want to do. Every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to our post office box does make a difference. Let's show these brave kids that you see in the video that we put up. Let's show them that they're not alone, that there are people backing them and supporting them and praying for them and fighting for them, and that we won't be silent, that their fight is our fight. Let's show them that. Every check, every money order, every cash donation helps. Obviously, the more support we get, the more funds we get, the stronger we are, and the more we're able to spread our message. And if you find it more convenient to help us financially online, that's fine. To us, there's no difference. If you want to help online, or if you want to help by sending a check, a money order, a cash donation through the mail to the post office box, makes no difference to us. Any way that's convenient, any way that you prefer is fine for us. If you want to do it online, you just go to the donate button on top. It's in English, the donate button on the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. The Hebrew main page is hayamin.org. Go to the donate button and you can help us. If we work together as a team, we will show that we won't be silent, and we're going to try to wake the Jews up, and we're going to try to do everything we can to make a difference. And with the upcoming presidential election next year, we're going to do everything we can to defeat Hillary Clinton and to have a president that will not relentlessly pressure Israel to commit suicide and that will not support an Iranian nuclear bomb-making program. The things we're doing are so essential, are so important for the survival of Israel, America, and Western civilization. Be a part of our team and help us. The reason you were put in this world is to make this a better world. That's the reason you were put into this world, for idealistic reasons. Together, we can make this a better world, God willing. Okay, let's go now to the questions from our great JTFers, and we start out with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, which is more annoying, self-hating Jews or phony Christians?" Unquote. Well, obviously, both of them are very annoying, but I think self-hating Jews are even worse. Look at the damage that the self-hating Jews do in the world. Just look at the terrible damage they do, the self-hating Jews in the news media, in politics, in Hollywood, on Wall Street. The damage they do is just enormous. And because God wants the Jews to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests. That's what he says in the Bible. That's what he says their role is supposed to be in the Bible. That's how God defines their role. When you see this self-hating behavior from the Jews, it's a terrible desecration of God's name. So I would say the self-hating Jews are even worse. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to Jeff Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the American sniper Chris Kyle in the movie based on his life?" Unquote. I don't know enough. I mean, I've heard stories back and forth about him, and I don't. And of course, he died a tragic death. I don't know enough to say. I just don't know enough about it to express an opinion. I have not seen the movie, and I just don't have enough details to comment. As far as my mother, Joe, you read my mind. My mother's latest situation is something that I spoke about and addressed in the opening. And so you can listen to the opening and you'll see what the latest is on my mother. Thank you very much, Joe. And we go now to Rashi, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the book and its author, The Secret War Against the Jews, How Western Espionage Betrayed the Jewish People? I think it's a very important book. It was written by two Gentiles. One of them had a Jewish grandfather somewhere in his background. I think he was one quarter Jewish. But both of them are not Jew. Both the authors are not Jewish, and they really show how the CIA and other Western intelligence agencies did everything they could during the Holocaust to sabotage rescuing the Jews and to hurt Israel, and just the whole history, a history of how, because of anti-Semitism and all types of other dirty reasons, Western espionage or Western intelligence has done everything they can to hurt Israel and the Jewish people. And the CIA has been responsible for that. The CIA and the European intelligence agencies. I happen to think that the CIA and the other intelligence agencies who are Ivy League educated, their agents are Ivy League educated people. That's where they get their agents. They're leftists to begin with. They've been wrong on almost everything they've ever predicted. They're a disaster for the United States, for the Western world, and certainly for Israel and the Jewish people. And I think this book exposes a great deal about them, and I think it's, and therefore I think it's an excellent book. Thank you, Rashi. We go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, how do you think Rabbi Kahana would have dealt with the BDS movement under the conditions of 2015, unquote. Okay, the BDS movement, of course, is the boycott, divest, that they want to boycott and divest from Israel. Rabbi Kahana would have made Israel independent, so Israel would not have been vulnerable to this movement. Israel is vulnerable because the Israeli government and Israeli leaders keep Israel vulnerable. They keep Israel dependent artificially on foreign countries. If Israel were not dependent on foreign countries, if Israel had a program to be militarily independent and economically independent and to have such a booming economy and such a healthy high-tech industry that people would not care about any movement trying to boycott them because they'd be so interested in obtaining Israeli technology and Israeli know-how, if we had a situation like that, obviously Israel would not be vulnerable to this type of movement. And if Rabbi Kahana had become prime minister, Israel would not be vulnerable to this type of movement. Thank you, EB22. And we go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, comment on these mayors of Jerusalem, Daniel, Oster, Zalman, Shragai, Yitzhak Kariv, Gershon Agron, Mordechai Ish Shalom, Teddy Kolek, Ehud Smolmert, Uri Luponyansky, Nir Barkat. Okay, this is a long list of the mayors of Jerusalem since before the state, even, because Daniel Oster was actually the mayor. He was the first Jewish mayor of Jerusalem before the state actually even came into being. All of these are establishment people. They're all bad. They're all politicians. They're all part of the culture of corruption. The early ones that you mentioned, of course, were all socialists, all Marxists. Just to give you an illustration, Teddy Kolek, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, he was a commander in the Haganah, which was the establishment so-called underground group. And one of the things that Teddy Kolek, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated, did, he kidnapped Yedidya Segel. The Haganah wanted to capture and kidnap members of the Irgun, members of Etzel. Etzel was the heroic freedom fighting organization whose commander was Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin, when he was in the underground fighting the British in the 1940s, was a hero. When he became prime minister, he was terrible. But when he was in the underground in the 1940s, he was a hero. And certainly the people in Etzel that he was associated with were heroes. Etzel is the acronym for Irgun Tzvai Leumi. In America, they call it the Irgun. In Israel, they call it Etzel. Anyway, the Haganah, the communists and the socialists of the Haganah wanted to capture members of Etzel and members of the Stern Group, the two true freedom-fighting underground groups, in order to hand them over to the British so they could be hanged, tortured, and hanged by the British. Because the Haganah were rats who collaborated with the enemies of the Jewish people. And David Ben-Gurion and Golda Meir openly urged people to do that. So they kidnapped Yedidya Segel, a 17-year-old Jewish hero who was in Etzel. They kidnapped him, and they demanded that he reveal the hiding places of his fellow underground freedom fighters. He refused. They tortured him brutally. They tortured him the way Muslims torture people when Muslims capture them. Tortured him so brutally, all night long they tortured him. They tortured him so brutally that in the morning he died as a result of the torture. He couldn't take the torture anymore and died. But he refused to speak to the very end. Under that type of unbelievable pain and torture, until he was dead, this 17-year-old would not speak and would not betray his friends. Look how noble these good Jews are, and look how evil the bad Jews are. You know, it says in the Talmud that the Jews, there's no in-between with Jews. When the Jews are good, they rise to the stars. When they're bad, they're lower than the dirt. And that's so true. With Jews, there's no in-between. They're very good. You have very good Jews, wonderful Jews, and then you have terrible Jews. Teddy Kollek and the animals in the Haganah that did this are the lowest, most vile traitors and informers and rats that you can possibly have. And Teddy Kollek, after he murdered the 17-year-old kid, tortured him to death, demanding that he snitch on his fellow Jews, and this brave young Jew gave his life refusing to do so. This animal, Teddy Kollek, who did this, then goes on to get elected mayor of Jerusalem and be a big hero, and they name the stadium after him in Jerusalem where they play soccer, and everybody, oh, he's such a great guy, this filthy animal, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. That's just an illustration of the type of scum we're talking about here. Ehud Smolmert became mayor, of course, and Ehud Smolmert eventually, while he was mayor, he was taking suitcases full of bribe money, and he's in jail now because of his bribe money. He was convicted of it. He became prime minister, wanted to give away the whole country. He was mayor of Jerusalem and then became prime minister and tried to give away the city that he was the mayor of to the Muslim Nazi terrorist that wanted to destroy us. That's Ehud Smolmert, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. Uri Lupolyansky was the first Haredi mayor. What a phony, what a disgusting phony disaster he was. I mean, he stabbed the Jewish people in the back left and right. And the current mayor, Nir Barkat, he's continuing the policies of cooperating with Netanyahu as they freeze Jewish building and as they allow the Arabs to build illegally all over the city and take over whole sections of the city. The whole thing is just disgusting. So all of these guys are bad. We need to replace all of them. We need to replace all of the establishment leaders and establishment parties in Israel. Thank you, Binyamin. We go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "Discuss FDR Jews and compare with Obama Jews," unquote. Well, it's the same strain of treason. The FDR Jews supported Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, at a time when Roosevelt's policies were directly leading to the murder of over 6 million Jewish men, women, and children. Roosevelt refused to bomb the rail lines leading to the Nazi death camps. Roosevelt refused to bomb the death camps themselves. Roosevelt was bombing every target in Europe except for the death camps and except for the roads leading to the death camps. The only roads that American and British fighter bombers did not touch are the roads that were leading the Jews to the Nazi concentration camps, because they didn't want to touch those roads. They wanted the Jews to be exterminated. And American Jews fanatically, enthusiastically were supporting this Nazi pig, Roosevelt. He was getting 80-90% of the Jewish vote, and they fanatically, they supported him, they adored him, they loved him. And you can compare that, of course, with the self-hating Jewish Judenrat capo filth that supported Barack Hussein Obama. He got 78% of the Jewish vote in 2008. He got, I think, 71-72%, something like that, in 2012. It's also the same type of scum that supported Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. These are Jews who don't care about their fellow Jews, who will let millions of their fellow Jews be murdered, literally, and in the Holocaust they allowed them to literally be murdered, as long as the presidents who are responsible for the murder are so-called liberals, are liberal Democrats, then it's okay. So, you know, you can't get treason more despicable than that. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, compare brother, quote-unquote, Nathanael Kapner and Norman Finkelstein, unquote. Well, these are two Jews who want to destroy their own people. I mean, Kapner converted, he left the Jewish religion, and he does Nazi, literally Nazi videos attacking the Jewish people in a way that would make Hitler proud, accusing the Jews of every problem in the world he blames the Jews for, this filthy animal. And Norman Finkelstein supports the extermination of Israel and the extermination of the Jews in Israel, and supports all the Muslim terrorist mass murderers. So these are two, you know, these are two Jewish Nazis who are committed to the extermination of their own people. And they are, these two literally are literally Jewish Nazis who literally want to exterminate millions of their own people. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, is Steven Evilberg, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Karet? Karet means cut off. Oh, of course he is. He's the scum of the earth. He raises millions of dollars for people that are trying to destroy Israel, like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama. He raises millions of dollars for them. People who want to enable Iran to develop nuclear bombs to destroy and incinerate the Jewish people. And this animal in Hollywood, this filthy, assimilated, intermarried, cowardly, low-life piece of filth in Hollywood raises millions of dollars for the politicians that are programming extermination against the Jewish people. So, if, of course, he's going to be cut off from the Jewish people. He's a complete traitor, obviously. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, compare the Park East Mosque with the septic system of the Greenwich Village Men's Health Sauna, unquote. Well, Park East Mosque, which calls itself the Park East Synagogue, that's the hideous house of treason across from the Soviet mission to the UN, where they arrested Jews who were protesting on behalf of Soviet Jewry. If we went to protest on behalf of Soviet Jewry because it was across the street from the Soviet mission, they would call the police and have us arrested. This hideous place, this filthy, hideous, filthy sewer that calls itself a synagogue, has as its rabbis people who have invited Jesse Jackson. They invited Jesse Jackson to come and speak there, where he said the Republicans are all Nazis. Can you imagine Jesse Jackson is calling somebody a Nazi? Jesse Jackson, who supports the Arab, the black Hitler, Louis Farrakhan, the Arab Hitler, Yasser Arafat, he's calling someone a Nazi. And he was invited and got standing ovations in Park East, in the so-called Park East Synagogue, which is a so-called Orthodox synagogue, inviting Jesse Jackson to come, inviting all the Jew haters to come, defending David Dinkins after the Crown Heights pogrom, and after David Dinkins was responsible for murdering an innocent Jew in the Crown Heights pogrom, defending the Clintons and the Obamas and all the enemies of the Jewish people. Arthur Schneier, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, the so-called rabbi there, and his son, these two hideous animals, his son with the Hamptons, the so-called synagogue in the Hamptons, where he invited Hillary Clinton to speak, and all the money that they raise and all the causes that they support, pure evil, pure treason. Yimach Shmam V'Zichram. May their names and memories be obliterated. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "One, curse Leonard Swiedler, Catholic Nazi, spent his life bashing Judaism. He's 86, father is Jew," unquote. Yeah, his father's a Ukrainian Jew. He's a professor. This guy's a professor at Temple University. And he does, you know, he's constantly organizing so-called interfaith meetings with Muslims and Jews, and, you know, all the deformed Jews and all the Muslim Nazis come together and they have interfaith meetings and they speak about how wonderful Islam is. That's one of the things that this animal has been involved with for many years. He's vile. He's vile. And he certainly does deserve to be cursed. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. Two, who did you root for in Mayweather versus Pacquiao? Unquote. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Pacquiao correctly, but that was the fight between a black guy and a Hispanic guy. I would root, in a case like that, I would root against the black guy. I don't like either one of them, because I consider this to be completely immoral, and I think that they're immoral, and the whole thing is grotesque. But I would root against, because so many blacks are Jew haters and such vicious, evil people, I would root against the black guy. I'm not against all blacks. I strongly support Pastor Manning. I'm not against all blacks. But many blacks are pure evil. And so I don't have a very positive inclination toward them when I see them. Unless I know better, unless they prove differently. And the burden of proof, when you have an enemy nation that makes war on the Jewish people, by the way, and under Judaism's rules, the burden of proof is on them. When, for instance, the Arabs are at war with the Jews, when you have a situation where the Arabs are at war with the Jews, an Arab is guilty until proven innocent, because his people, and his people are responsible for that situation. His people have made war on the Jews, and the Jews have a right to defend themselves, and we can assume that he's an enemy until he proves otherwise. When a nation is at war with the Jews, anyone from that nation is our enemy unless they prove otherwise. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to Guns N' Roses fan who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, your opinion on the following men. One, Tex Mars," unquote. Oh, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that hideous animal. He's a Nazi Jew hater who says the Jews are all Khazars, which is nonsense, of course. And I'm not even going to go into refuting it. It's so ridiculous. I don't even want to go into refuting it. It's just too absurd. But he's just a Nazi who hates the Jewish people. He's into Nazi conspiracy theories. And he's just a vile piece of subhuman sewage. And secondly, another piece of vile subhuman sewage, David Duke. You're asking now, Guns N' Roses fan asks about David Duke. He is a Nazi. He's a Nazi who supports Hitler and supports the Nazis. And so obviously you can't get more vile than this. And three, and there's a list of people here. First we had Tex Mars and David Duke. Yimach Shmam, may their names and memories be obliterated. The third person on the list is Pat Robertson. Lehavdil be'elef alfei havdalot, which means may we separate a thousands of times over, I separate him from the first two, because Pat Robertson, I believe, is a good person. He's an evangelical Christian who I think really loves the Jewish people and loves Israel and has always defended Israel and the Jewish people, and I think he's a good person. Four, Geert Wilders. Well, Geert Wilders, it's a mixed bag. He does support Israel. He's not an anti-Semite. He does support Israel, but unfortunately he's an atheist. That's very bad. And because of that, he also wants to outlaw kosher slaughter, just other crazy things that are part of an anti-religious agenda that I'm not happy about. So I think it's a mixed bag with Geert Wilders, but he is right about the Quran and he's right about Islam. what he says about the Quran and what he says about Islam is true. And then the Guns N' Roses fan writes, thanks and God bless, Edward. Well, Edward, thank you very much for your excellent question. And we go now to Surgical Jew, who writes, and I quote, Shalom. After fallout of British Indian Empire, only Burma has successfully dealt with Muslim problem. Burma also first in Asia to recognize Israel, unquote. Okay, maybe that's true. I don't know. I don't know the whole history of what Burma did. that might be true. I could tell you this much, though. There is no country in the world, not one, not Burma, not the United States, no country in the world that recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So no country in the world is genuinely pro-Israel. We don't have any real, we have no friends. We have no friends. That's a fact. So let's not live in a world of illusions here. Burma may have recognized Israel. I don't know. I don't know what that really means, if that's really very important that Israel gets recognized. But we do not have any real friends among nations of the world. Among individuals, there are individuals in the world, among the Gentiles who are genuinely very pro-Israel and very pro-Jewish. Yes. But the nations and leaders of the world do not support Israel and are not our friends. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. Am levadad yishkon. That means a nation that shall dwell alone. Israel is a nation that shall dwell alone. And that's from the Torah. That's what God tells us will be the situation in the Torah, and it is the situation. Thank you, Surgical Jew. And we go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I am so happy to hear the news on your mother's health. It was a real pleasure to have met you, your mother, and sister 2 years ago. Sei gesund. Okay, sei gesund in Yiddish means to be healthy. Thank you very much, Chicago Jew, and it was indeed a pleasure to meet you. And we go to Chiram, who writes now, and I quote, Shalom, please bless the soul of... And then there's a name here, and then it says, for foiling the Muslims' evil plot while they were killing her, unquote. Okay. Chiram, let me explain to you what happened on my computer. It may just be on my computer, but I cannot read the name there because you have something there, you have some sort of... I don't know what you did, but whatever it is, it's distorted the letters of her name, and I cannot see her name. So if you want to ask the question again next week... But just type in the name without any symbols or anything else. Just type in the name just with straight ABC, with just straight the alphabet letters. Because I can't write, right now I can't read the name because of that. I don't know why, but on our site where I'm unable, or maybe it's my computer, probably my computer, I'm unable to read it because you put some sort of characters in the name that my computer doesn't recognize, and it distorted the whole name. Thank you, Chiram. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, best of health to your mother. Please give us your take on Carly Fiorina. Thank you for wishing my mother good health. Carly Fiorina is a phony. She's a phony. She was the CEO of a huge corporation, and she made a lot of money, and she has at various times taken different positions on various issues. For her to run for president is ridiculous. Why is she running for president? And I don't believe she's sincere on the issues, and I believe that she's changed her positions on issues repeatedly. We support Ted Cruz because he has been consistent on the issues. I don't trust Carly Fiorina. I don't believe her. And the positions she's taken in the race for president are different from the position she took when she ran for the U.S. Senate in California. So I don't trust her, and she has zero chance of winning. So her candidacy is just a distraction. And I don't think it helps the cause of defeating Hillary Clinton, despite the fact that she attacks Hillary Clinton. Right now, I don't think she's helping the cause. I hope that she'll pull out of the race and that she will become one of the Republicans who attacks Hillary Clinton. And maybe she can help the cause in the future, but right now she's not helping and she has no chance of winning. Thank you, PMN. And we go now to Imaknik, who writes, and I quote, your thoughts on, and then there's a list of names here, a whole list of names here of people. Okay. Your thoughts on Ken Abramowitz. Ken Abramowitz is a wealthy businessman. I know that, and I know he contributes to the Likud. But I don't know enough about him. I don't agree with him on the Likud. I don't think the Likud is a good party, and I don't think Netanyahu is a good leader. But I don't know enough about him to say one way or the other aside from that. He may just be ignorant about what, you know, some people think Netanyahu and the Likud, that's real right wing. That's good for Israel and the Jews. He may be ignorant about it. He may be a good person who just doesn't know any better. So I don't know enough really to comment about him beyond that. And the next name on the list is Farley Weiss. Farley Weiss is the national president of Young Israel, which is a phony establishment group. Young Israel are synagogues. They don't speak out when they're supposed to. They don't stand for what they're supposed to stand for. They're part of the so-called Conference of Presidents of major American Jewish organizations, the King of Kings, the Kings of Kings. They sit together with the lowest traitors, Peace Now, and the lowest J Street, and the lowest scum of the earth traitors. They sit in conferences together with them, and they're all friendly and buddies with these people. But Rabbi Kahana, they usually condemned. So, you know, I don't like Young Israel. I'm not impressed with the Jewish establishment, including the Orthodox Jewish establishment, are bad news. They are terrible for the Jewish people. They are bad for the Jewish people. They're cowards. They're phonies. They're corrupt. And they do not represent the best interests of the Jewish people. And the next name on the list is David Weprin, Yimach Shmo, that hideous animal. His father was the Speaker of the Assembly when they were destroying New York State. One of the people who helped destroy New York State is the Speaker of the New York State Assembly in Albany. And he now, I don't know if he's in, he and his brother, are, you know, they switch places. One is an assemblyman, one's a city councilman, and then they switch places because of term limits. Oh, what phonies. What phonies. They support Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton. Need I say more? They support the people who are destroying Israel, who want to destroy Israel. The worst Jew haters who want to destroy their own people. They're liberal, left-wing Democrats who support enemies of their own people. I think that should say it. That should be enough to say it all. And the next person on the list is Rory Lantzman. He's another one. I think he's city councilman now from Queens. Same story. Mashmo Vazichro, another Obama lover, Clinton lover. All the people that want to destroy Israel and the Jewish people, he supports them. And the Orthodox Jews, they support all the Orthodox Jews in Queens. They like him. They like, they, you know, they schmooze with him. Ugh, what a... What a people so lacking in self-respect, so lacking in principles. It's so pathetic. It's so pathetic. It's so tragic. So tragic. And the next name on the list is Rabbi David Al-Ghazi. I know Rabbi Al-Ghazi. He's a very nice person. I don't agree with him on quite a few issues. He's another Netanyahu supporter. I don't agree with him on the issues. He happens to be a nice person. He happens to be a decent Jew. He genuinely does love Israel. He loves the Jewish people, and he's a good person. When I was in trouble, he came along with other rabbis. He did come to my trial, and he came to court to help me when I was in trouble. So he's a person who does, when Jews are in trouble, he does respond. And he does try to help the Jewish people. So I like him personally, even though I have differences of opinion with him on the issues. And finally, Jeffrey Wiesenfeld. Shem Reshaim Yirkav. May the name of the wicked rot. Jeffrey Wiesenfeld is scum. Scum. He worked for the scum governor of New York, George Pataki, who, as 12 years as a so-called conservative Republican, increased spending so that New York became the state with the highest level of spending of the 50 states in America. No one spends more than New York State. No one taxes more than New York State. And George Pataki increased spending, increased taxes, increased socialism in New York State, made New York a Bolshevik nightmare, a Bolshevik hellhole. And this is someone who calls himself a conservative. And Jeffrey Wiesenfeld worked with Pataki, worked with all the low-life, corrupt politicians in Albany, all the vile politicians in Albany. He's a vile person. Just recently, you know what this animal did? Pastor Manning, the great Pastor Manning, who is one of the most wonderful people that I have ever known, a true friend of the Jewish people, a true man of principle, a wonderful human being. Pastor Manning was supposed to speak at a Jewish event in support of Israel and against anti-Semitism. He was supposed to speak at the Jewish event. He was invited to speak because he's a strong supporter of Israel and the Jews. And he's Pastor Manning, should be invited. He's one of the people who we should be inviting. It's people like that that we should be associating with. Anyway, Jeffrey Wiesenfeld organized all types of, he organized the protest about it and got everybody hysterical behind the scenes. I don't mean an open demonstration, but he went crazy. Pastor Manning can't speak there, and he got it canceled. He got Pastor Manning disinvited and tried to humiliate Pastor Manning publicly. Why? Because Pastor Manning, by the way, Pastor Manning is pro-Israel, and Jeffrey Wiesenfeld is not. Jeffrey Wiesenfeld's a big phony. He's not really pro-Israel. He's a self-hating piece of garbage. But anyway, Pastor Manning is against the gay agenda. And Jeffrey Wiesenfeld doesn't like anyone who speaks against the sodomite agenda because Pastor Manning was against the sodomite agenda. He said Pastor Manning is a homophobe and we can't let him speak. So Jeffrey Wiesenfeld got Pastor Manning canceled. Pastor Manning went to the event and was humiliated publicly at the event, or they tried to humiliate. I don't think Pastor Manning should feel humiliated. The people who did it to him, the people who canceled him, the people who tried to humiliate him, they're the ones who should be humiliated. They're the ones who should feel humiliated. Pastor Manning has nothing to feel ashamed about. They're the ones who should be ashamed, the people who treated him like that. But this vile cockroach, Jeffrey Wiesenfeld, got the great Pastor Manning canceled. Jeffrey Wiesenfeld can't clean the dirt under Pastor Manning's shoes. That's what I think of Jeffrey Wiesenfeld. Thank you, Imachnik, and I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.